Alrighty. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof. I'd like to begin once again from the beginning of this sugya over here on daf Yotet Amud Beit. And remember that we had the question of Rabbi Meir, who holds that a matneh mashikatuv b'Torah, that ain't t'na'o, is t'na'o b'tel, there's no kiyum to his t'nai. But nonetheless, he says that in a case where somebody makes a t'nai, that I'm going to sell you my daughter as an oma with a t'nai that you will not be able to be miya'ed, and that would be okay. Why is that? So he said it's because of a special pasuk. Since it says, ki yimkor ish et bito la'ama, sometimes the mechira could be only la'ama. What about the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Meir on that issue? So that's where I'd like to start from. So this would be now about 12 lines from the bottom. Va'ama pa'amim she'enu mochra ala lama bilvat. V'rabanan, what did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk of Yimkor la'ama? Why, what's the point? My avdilek. Amiboyle l'kidetanya. Le'ama means that it's possible to sell her only for purposes of working in the house and not for purposes of marriage. But that doesn't mean that the yield would be impossible. It just means it would be wrong. So you could sell her to psulim, and the selling of psulim, let's say to a mamzer in this scene. So what would be the din over there? Obviously, he's not going to be miyater because that would be an iser lav. But nonetheless, theoretically, kiddushin would be taif siman an iser lav. And therefore, the la'oma comes to tell me that even though it's not going to happen, but nonetheless, it's a valid sale, even though you're selling clearly only for purposes of her working as a maid. That's the way that the Rabbanan understand it. Ask the Gemara, but I don't need a pasuk for that. I mean, Palodinu, if a father is able to be Mekachil Psulim, he can accept Kedushin from a mamzer, let's say, for his daughter. And obviously, like, the Kedushin is Chal, but they're not going to be able to get married and go to the Chuppah. But nonetheless, the Kedushin is Chal. So if he can even accept direct Kedushin, certainly he should be able to sell her to Psulim, where it's a very indirect issue that brings her to Kedushin. That's an interesting argument, but it's not a very good kavachomer. Why? Because Mala Mekat Shala Psulim, Shekein Adam Mekadeshet Bito Kishi Nahara. It's always easier for a father to be Mekadesh, accept Kedushin for his daughter. The proof is he can accept Kedushin for her even though she's already post-puberty. So she's already in Nahara, but he cannot sell his daughter under those conditions because if he had sold her as a Ketana, she would already go out from the Avdut as a Nahara Koshken. He can't sell her into the Avdus. So perhaps it's more difficult. Yim Karena L'Psulim, does that mean that we would automatically conclude on the basis of the Kavachomer, we're over there, Ein Adam Mocheret Bito Kishi Nahara? Talmud Lomar La'ama, I need the pasuk to teach me that it can be Mocher L'Psulim. So now, if that is the case, this is where we got up to. I just wanted to remind you where we are holding.
Amen.
It's always wonderful to see how Zoom is so careful to put the Rebbe and the Gabbai next to each other, telling you this is a very brilliant program. Okay. It's really crazy. Alrighty. So now, Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't think that's how we should understand the pasuk, that it's coming to tell me that he could sell her lipsulim. Because im lelamed shemochra lipsulim, if that's the point, I know it already. Because what do you think it means when it says, im ra'a be'enei adonea asher lo ya'ada? What does it mean, ra'a? It means that there's something wrong with the nisuin. In other words, what's the point? When we I don't know why he didn't go and miyayed her. What, it has because he found something wrong in her? I mean, maybe he's just too old to get married to her. Maybe his wife is ready to kill him if you want. I mean, I don't know. So what is the Torah saying? Oh, if there's something wrong with her, there's nothing wrong with her. I don't understand. The Torah never does that to create a situation which is completely irrelevant to the Totsaot, right? Ah, so must be coming to discuss something specific and something definable. Namely, ra'a means it's objectively ra'a. It's ra'a b'nisu'eha, that there's something wrong, meaning that it's usher. So let's say he's a mamzer, right? So it would be us for him to marry her. Therefore, if I know that already, that it's possible to have a case of an Amma Ivriya, where the Adin is Ra'a in terms of the marriage, that it's an Isser Lav, so then what's the point of saying La'ama? Oh, that's a much bigger Kiddush. That's coming to tell me you can even sell her to a relative where Mamish it would be an Isser Kares, and it's not possible to be Mekayim Yibum. So in other words, he's explaining that the point over here is that it's docha what we said earlier, and in fact, yud is not an absolute requirement in order for it to go through, because the Torah is saying beferish that it could be literally ra'a in the sense of an impossibility. Now, why again couldn't we learn that also out from a kal v'chomer? Same question we said before. V'halodinu, if the father is able to sell her to psulim, so why wouldn't he be able to sell her to krovim? I mean, we're thinking that the issue over here is that basically what we're talking about is that he can put her into a very embarrassing kind of position, selling her to someone who's a mamzer, so koshike, but he shouldn't be able to sell her to a relative. Where, I mean, it's not ridiculous, right? I mean, it's horrible for a father to sell her to a mamzer, but over here he's selling her to a relative. It happens to be a relative that dafka she's not allowed to marry, but everybody looks at that as being a very understandable situation. He's going to sell her, let's say he sells her to his father. No, that's wonderful, right? Okay, I mean, he just wants to make sure that she grows up in her grandfather's house and takes care of her. I mean, what's so terrible about that? So wouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? No. Of course not, because malamoch malab psulim for the obvious reason. If you sell her to a mamzer, at least over there, theoretically, yud is possible, like we said all along. So we know what the issue is over here. So that's because imrat sali ya'ed mi ya'ed. So therefore, you're going to tell me he's allowed to sell her, let's say, to her grandfather. Nimkarena lekrovim, we're over there. If he wanted to be miyayater, he wasn't able to. And therefore, as we said before, if it wouldn't be for the pasuk, I would have thought that yiud is an absolute necessity, at least its possibility, is an absolute necessity in order for us to be able to have a situation of mechira la'ama. So therefore, by krovim imratzala ya'ed, enu mi'ayed, he obviously is impossible. And we saw before that the two are interrelated. That's why we need the pasuk la'ama, to tell me that af al pi kein, enu mochra. You would have thought that he would not be able to, from your logic? No. Okay. Now, let's take a look at Rebbe Meir. So we said before that according to Rebbe Meir, you are allowed to sell her to psulim. But you're, and that he learned out from the same pasuk that Rebbe Eliezer is learning out, you could sell her to krovim. So now, how would Rebbe Meir himself know what the din would be legabe selling her to the psulim? We learned before that Rebbe Meir understood from Le'ama that Le'ama came to tell me that you can make a t'nai, right? Sometimes you can sell her only for a ama. You can make a condition, it would not be considered to be a violation. But then he doesn't have the La'ama to tell me sometimes you could sell her only as an ama because the person you're selling her to is a mamzer or an asin, right? So how would Rebbe Meir know that if he doesn't have that? Well, it's no problem. He could learn it the same way that Rebbe Eliezer learns it. We just said, Imra abe ene adoneha. And Rebbe Eliezer made a beautiful diak. What's the Torah telling us stories for? What is this? Some kind of a TV program? I mean, it's got to be meaningful. So the meaning is ra'a. That means to say that she's married to a mamzer. So that's ra'a. There's no way for them to get married. That's where he learns it from. And when it comes to the question of krovim, enochinami, in that he agrees with the Rabbanan, in which the Rabbanan say he cannot indeed sell it to krovim. Why? Because yiud is absolutely essential. That is to say, the potential, the possibility of yiud for krovim, whether it's an Isser Kares, there is no such possibility. So everything works out beautifully. Now, we have indeed two brises. One brisa says that a person can sell his daughter to his own father, in other words, to her grandfather, but he cannot sell her to his son. Oh, that's weird. Whereas the other brachta says he can't sell her to any relative. So, I mean, like, how does this make sense? I mean, Bishlama ina mochra lo laviv v'lo v'livno. He cannot sell his daughter to his son. Obviously, the son can't marry her. He cannot sell his daughter to his father. Obviously, his father cannot marry her. So that would be going aliba de rabbanan. Okay, the rabbanan say eno mochra l'krofi because yud has to be a possibility. Ela mochra l'aviv eno mochra l'vno. Like, I don't understand. Where does that come up? Why would we make a distinction between a relative that is the father and a relative that's the son, where it's exactly the same? Neither of them can marry. That doesn't go according to anybody. I mean, who made that distinction? It doesn't work out according to the Rabbana, who say you're not allowed to sell to Krovim, because how come you're allowed to sell, therefore, to your father? And it doesn't work out like Rabbi Eliezer, who says you are allowed to sell to Krovim, so why can't he sell to the son? No, this is very, very simple. This is a beautiful chab. Remember that there's two dinim in yud. There's yud to yourself, but then there's also im libno yadena, right? So what would be the din over here? The grandfather cannot take her, but can the grandfather not be miyayed him, her, to his son, who is a brother to the father, which means it's an uncle to this girl? And then an uncle is certainly allowed to marry his niece. So therefore, it would still be yud. You see, that's the chab. So when we say there's no yud, according to the sheet, that means there's no yud at all. Not for himself and not libno yadena. Mashenkin, in the case where you sell her to grandpa, there is a yud because he can always give her to the uncle. So that's what the second brisa holds over here. By the way, the Ritva actually says that there's no reason for us to even say that it's a machlokas, because what it could be dependent on is the reality. Is there another son or not? If there's another son, so then she would be able to get married to her uncle, which is the daughter of grandpa, son of grandpa. There'd be no problem. But if we're talking about a case where there is no other son except her daddy, so then in a chinami, it's not possible in either case, because there's no alternative to his own yud. There's no ben to be miyayed either. So that's the Ritva suggestion, is that the Brises don't even have to be arguing. They could both agree that this is the case. Okay, let's get back now to the halacha of an Eved Ivri, and we have the pasuk, Im begapo yavo, begapo yetze, im ba'ali shahu, v'yatza, and so on. What is all of this? So Tana Rabbana. Im begapo yavo, begapo yetze. What that means is, im begufo nichnas, begufo yetze, which we'll explain in a moment. If he came in with his body, then he goes out with his body. Well, I should hope so. It'd be a little difficult to take it off. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, it means if he came in yechidi, then he's yotze yechidi. I see the Rebbe is having trouble with Ari. You've got to make up your mind. Either you've got Ari there listening, or you're giving Ari a kick in the pants. Which way is it going to be? But we certainly can't have a Rebbe half here and half not here. Okay, so now let's discuss both of these approaches. So the Tanakhama said, okay, how would that make any sense? Omar Rava, what that means is, Lomar, an Eved Kenani that gets any one of 24 Evarim broken off by an Adain. So that person indeed goes out, even though he's a Kenani. So you would think that the same thing would be true of an Eved Ivri. So therefore comes along the pasuk to say that he's got to have, he goes out with the same body. Meaning what? In the event that you knocked out one of the Esrim V'Arba Evarim, so then that means you'll have to pay fully for it. So his body will be fully restored. That is to say, in terms of its financial value, obviously, no way to take off your body. But if there's anything that's missing, so then let's pay for it. Masha Inkein, by the Knani, once anything was knocked out, so then you end up without any Evet. Omer li Abaye, wait a second. Why would I need that? I know that the din is that there's no Yitzhiyah Barosh Evorim except for Knani, because we learned that out by the Oma Ivriyat. The Oma Ivriyat says Beferish, Lo Tetse Kitse Ta Avadim. So that means she does not have the right to be Yotze the way that a regular Eved, meaning an Eved Knani, would be Yotze. So why do I need to tell me over here that there's another Pasuk to say that an Eved Knani? Remember, if the Oma Ivriyat doesn't go out, neither does the Eved Ivri, because it says, Ki Imachir Lecha Achicha HaIvri O HaIvriya. The Torah makes them similar. And therefore, there's no din of Yotze Beroshe Evarim. So what do I don't understand why we need this Pasuk, says Abaye. Did I make a bracha already on this? I think I did, right? You said Amen. Absolutely. There we go. I may forget my stupid bracha, but I couldn't forget your beautiful Amen. So okay. Says Rava, no, I need both. Because let's say if we would have learned it from Lo Tetze Kitze Tavadim, I would have said, Hava Mina, that doesn't mean that she doesn't go out. It means she doesn't go out without being compensated for Rosh Evarim. So by the Eved Knani, if the Adai knocks out one of these Evarim, so the Eved Knani is Yotze, and that's the end of it. I would have thought that it means that let's say he knocks out her eye, so then he would pay her for that eye, but she would still be able to go out. So the meaning, lo tetzek et seta vadim, means it's not the same, but it doesn't mean that she doesn't go out. It means she doesn't go out under the same circumstances without being compensated. But maybe she would also go out and also get compensation. That's why we need this extra pasuk, in begapo yavo, begapo yetze. If he came in with a full body, then he goes out with a full body, that he also gets his full compensation. So if that's the case, that pasuk of Lo Tetze Kitze Tavadim is coming gufa to tell you that she literally does not go free with that. Now, that's the Tana Kama. What about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, Yechidi Nichnas, Yechidi Yetze. What is that supposed to mean? If he comes in alone, he goes out alone. So what exactly is that? Omer Nachum Yetze, what it means is like this. If he became an Eved while he was unmarried, so he did not have an Isha Ubanim, then he leaves without ever having been married, which means, Yesh lo Isha Ubanim, so if he has a wife and children, a wife or children, obviously, is the Pashtas, and then that would mean that his Rabbo is Moser lo Shivcha Kenanit. At that point, the Rav can have him work at night by getting babies for him. But Elo Isha Uvanim, Ein Rabo Moser Lo Shivcha Knanit. So then there's Bedavka, not any heter for a Shivcha Knanit. Okay, so now, gentlemen, we have to really be excited to go through this sugya because we are finally going to be able to get our teeth into the entire structure of the Torah's understanding of the relationship of Eved Ivri, Oma Ivriya, Nimkar LeYisrael, Nimkar LeAkum, in what way he's able to be paid to himself, what exactly the relationships are between master and servant, and what every last detail of every last word in the Torah. It's astounding to see the psukim that you learned when you were a kid in Mishpatim. Everything seems so simple, and all of a sudden, every last diak is full of the most incredible halachas. So I say, put on your thinking caps, get ready for fun, and look at this as a joyride. Okay, so now the question is, what do we mean when we're talking about actually being giron kesef? So we said vehevda. Vehevda means giron kesef. Now remember that is the story by the Oma Ivriya, the vehevda. But we also have the psukim by the Eved, where it says over there, Ohisigayado. So we have Dodo ben Dodo Yigaleno, Ohisigayado, or Vinigal. So we have this other idea that he's nigal bekrovim, or he's nigal by bringing him, buying himself out. Now, those psukim were said, remember, in the final case, at the end of the dinim in Vayikra, in the end of Behar, where it talks about what the halachas are in a person who was in a terrible position and had to sell himself to a goy. And then the question is, would those same halachas, which it never says anything about that, when he's Nimkar Yisroel, doesn't talk about Dodo, Ben Dodo, Yigaleno, none of that stuff. So we had that question before. Remember, Rebbe said, Im lo Yigael Be'ele, so that was that special case in which he is able only a Nimkar La'akum and not a Nimkar Yisroel. Now, we thought that that meant that he doesn't hold of Socher Socher, but we came out that that is not necessarily the case at all, and that the Be'ele is a special limud, that this is a diner is miyuchad for a Nimkar Legoy. Okay, so now let's talk about how that Giron Kesef takes place. Tana Rabbanan, because remember that the value of the Evan could certainly fluctuate during the time that he was working. I mean, he's working for 6 years. That value could change. What determines the value that he would have to pay back when he's coming to buy himself out? The current value or the original sales value? And if the current value sale actually changed and it now is redefining the situation, does it redefine it from the beginning? Or does it redefine it only from this point on? All of these questions have to be raised now. So let's say he was Nimkar B'mona. So he was sold for 100 zuz, hishbiach, and during the 6 years, the price changed. He became more valuable, and he's been working after all. Now he's got his big muscles, and now he's worth a lot of money as an evet. So now he's worth 200. So minayin she'in mechashvim lo elamona. How do we know that when he wants to buy himself out, he buys himself out on the basis of his original value? So each year equals 1/6 deduction, and so on. Obviously, it goes not only the year, but we prorate it according to the value at that time. How do we learn that out? Because it says, Mikesev miknato. You go according to the money that he was purchased with. So, imod rabot bashanim lafim yashiv gulato, mikesev miknato. Okay? That means that obviously it goes according to the purchase. How about the other situation? How about if he was Nimkar B'Mataim, he was originally worth 200, and now he's gone down in value, the Hichsiv, the Amad Almana. He hasn't been well. He looks like a wreck. How do we know if he's only worth a mana? Minayin she'in mechashvin lo el amana. How do we know that that now redefines the entire term of his avdus, that we would go lakula in either situation, in other words, right? So in other words, he actually is paid himself on the lower amount, whether the original sale was the lower amount, or we're now claiming, even if his current value is the lower amount, it redefines his value from the sale. How do we know that he now only has to pay according to the original value of a mana? Ah, Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah says, Kifi Shanav. Now, that's like really weird, right? Take a look. We have two psukim, and they say the opposite. Im od rabot pashanim lefiem yeshiv geulato, then mikesev miknato. But how about the very next pasuk that says, v'ima at nishar b'shanim at shnata yovel, v'chi shavlo kifi shanav. Wait a minute. But then is it kifi shanav yeshiv geulato? That means the current value. Which way does it go? Therefore, the Torah is telling me it goes either way. Whichever one is the lower price, that's what it is that he gets away with. This all appears where? In the case of an Eved that was Nimkar Lo'oved Kochavim. Okay, but remember that an Eved that was Nimkar Lo'oved Kochavim has that entire story of that Dodo, O Ben Dodo, Yigaleno, through somebody else. Man, I understand. I mean, that's like we're trying to get him out of the Rishus of the Aku, right? Okay, so, I mean, it makes sense that we're going to actually make things advantageous for him. All right, we want him to get out of that Rishus. pay whatever. If the current value is less, figure on that basis. If the original value was less, figure on that basis. Okay, that makes sense. So that's because since we see that the Torah wants him out of there, so therefore, ho'il v'nigal b'krovim yado ha'tachtona, so the goy who bought him has got the less powerful hand. We call that yado ha'tachtona. So he's at the least advantageous situation, right? So because of that, I understand it. It all makes sense. Everything. The fact that other people can come in and they buy him out, and the fact that he gets to buy himself out on a lesser amount, yes. But how would I know that this would apply even to a Nimkar Yisrael? I mean, we don't actually see that a Nimkar Yisrael is able to be Nigal Bikrovim. Remember, that's what Rebbe said Beferish before, right? The din of the Geula Bikrovim, the Rambam actually paskins this. The din of Geula Lekrovim is said specifically on the Nimkar La'akum, but not to a Nimkar Yisrael. So maybe this halacha is also not said. And if he's going to buy himself out, so maybe we don't give him the advantage. Maybe we give the advantage to the owner. Talmud Lomar, oh, we know the answer to that. Sachir, sachir, ligzeresh of a. So as we've seen many times, we have the word, we have the kishir shana b'shana yeimo, lo yirdeno b'forech le'inecho, which is said by the Akum. And then we had, back in Vayikra, kisachir kitoshav yeimach ad shnata yovel yavonimach. So that we had all the way back in Vayikra describing a Nimkar Yisrael. So that means that they're basically the same din. Omar Abaye. Now remember that Abaye used to get a little bit high every once in a while. And when he was feeling really tough about himself, he would go out, strip down, and he would say, okay, I'm ready to take on anybody. Ben Azai was never scared of anybody. I ain't scared of nobody. Ask me anything you want, and I'll tell you the answer. And you try to argue with me, I'll smash you. Okay? So he would do this every once in a while. And that's when he was really feeling good about things. So one of the times he did that, someone came along and said to him, okay, I got a challenge for you. The psukim that we had before, it doesn't say whether we go lekula or go lechumra. You decided how to look at it, right? I mean, it just says two psukim. One pasuk says that we look at fishanav, is current, or the other pasuk, the earlier pasuk says, the goes according to mikesav miknato, which is the money that he was sold for. Now, you've said we always take whichever is cheaper. I'm suggesting that what it really means is we always take what is to his disadvantage. So he should always pay more, not less. So where did you come up with the idea? My chazita de darshina lekula, nidarshina lechumra. Let's go lechumra. Ah, says Abaye, nonsense. Lo zakadaiter, don't even think about it. Because look, we see that the Torah wants this guy out. So therefore, if that's the case, we should also enable him to be treated gently here as well. How do we know that the Torah wants you to treat him with extreme courtesy? Well, it's a braita. Ki tov lo imach. So here we're talking about the case where the Eved says, I don't want to leave. I am really happy. It's been great. Ki tov lo imach. So what does imach mean? That's talking about, of course, where he's going to be near to, right? He says, I love this guy and I don't want to get away from this situation. Okay, so what does it mean when it says that it was good for him with you? What do you mean with you? That comes to tell me he's got to be on the same level as your life. Imach b'machal, imach b'mishteh. Listen, he's going to eat the same quality food you're going to eat. He's going to drink the same quality talisker that you're going to drink. Like I said, you can't give yourself talisker and give him Jack Daniels like Richie tries to do. Absolutely not. It's all the way. And you cannot go and eat that horrific Wonder Bread and feed him Oh, well, and feed him the good, delicious whole wheat bread. No way. He's going to
have... Oh, it's a good thing I don't have any slaves. Wow.
And you think you're going to be drinking, you know, this Yayin Yashan brandy, and he's going to be drinking grape juice. Is that what you think? You think that you're going to be sleeping on a foam mattress, and he's going to be sleeping on a straw mattress? No, no. That's not going to happen, because it says Imach. Mikan amru ko akone eved ivri ke kone adon latzmo. You might as well have bought yourself a master if you bought yourself a slave. So Tosfos says, how all of a sudden is he a master? I mean, he's not better than you, is he? Says Tosfos, yes, of course he is. Let's imagine a case where you only have one decent pillow and the other pillow is made out of garbage. So now what are you going to do? If you use that pillow, so then you're going to be over on the Isser of Imach. And if you don't give him that pillow, but you take a garbage pillow for yourself also, you say, all right, so we'll be even. Then you're going to be over on Midas Daim. What do you mean? Nobody's going to get the pillow because you don't want to give it to this guy. It's sweat off your back to give him a pillow.
So it would be Midas Daim.
Only the Eved gets the pillow. So that means that basically you bought yourself a master because he's always going to be the first one that's going to drink that talisker up. Now, that's why we say, look, if you have to treat him well, then you got to treat him well in giving him the best terms for the Yetziah. Well, I mean, wait a minute. I don't see that that's very persuasive. I mean, the fact that you have to treat him well, he has to eat well, he has to sleep well, he can't suffer, right? But what does that mean about necessarily that he could buy himself out? Where do you see that the Torah wants to allow him to have an easy way out? That was your assumption. The Torah doesn't want him to have an easy way out. As a matter of fact, I have a very good reason to assume that the Torah wants to be hard on him. And now, in order to understand this next piece, beautiful, beautiful drasha, you have to pay close attention to the parsha at the end of Bahar, where we were talking about all kinds of different things. If you remember, things like lending money, and you're not allowed to lend money in ribis, and what happens if you buy an Eved Ivri, and allowing him to be paid there, and so on and so forth. So what we want to do is we want to analyze one pasuk after the other, because the pashtus over there is that it's talking about all kinds of different things without any specific order. It's like mushing different issues together. But if we look carefully, we will understand it's another one of those one thing leads to another cases. And therefore, let's take a look at Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Hanina's drasha, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Hanina Omer, bo ra'e kama kashe avka shel shvi'it. Remember when we talk about avka? We talk about like avak lashon hara, right? What does that mean? It means it's the lowest level of the iser. It's not literally lashon hara, but it's like lashon hara. The same thing is true. We have the lowest level of the iser shvi'is. The real iser shvi'is is focused on doing work on the land b'shnas hashmita, right? The other issues is how you treat the things that grew during Shvias. So over there it says that the Tvuas Haaretz will be for what purpose? La'ochla. So you're able to have all of that Shvias stuff to eat. But what if you want to use it to sell in your makolet? Then you will be over on that pasuk, because the pasuk says you're supposed to be eating it, lo l'schora, not for business purposes. You're making for business purposes. Now, obviously, that's not the fundamental issue of Shvias. And it's only an implication of the mitzvah la'ochla. So it's like an implication of an asay, really. Even though you're doing something wrong, but like you're not being mekayim, the mitzvah of la'ochla. That's what he's calling afka shel shvi'it. So here's what I want to show you, says Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Hanina. You want to learn what kind of pickle you get yourself into by not paying attention to the slippery slope. This is a slippery slope. A guy started off by doing a little business on the side with things that grew during Shemitah. You know what happens to him? Well, the next pasuk is he ends up selling his TV set. Now that's a disaster, right? Okay, so if Lesof Mocheret Metaltalav, look at the pasuk. Bishnat Ayovel Tashuvel Achuzatos, at the end of the parsha of Bahar that's describing the din of Shemitah and Yovel, and the Yisurim of Yovel, of course, are also about eating. Same thing as in Shvius, you can't do the Aveda Bekarka. Fine. So what's the next pasuk? A strange, I mean, apparently non sequitur. V'chitim kerumim karla amitecha, o kano b'yad amitecha. If you sell something or you buy something, well, what is that referring to? Miyad. It's referring to metaltalin, because it says miyad. So it's something that is passed from hand to hand. Dover anikna miyad, miyad, liyad. And that has something to do with what? That has something to do with Shemitah? Yes. Because since you started to sell things, be'isser, and you just sold your Shemitah food, you're going to end up selling your TV. That'll teach you a lesson, right? So that's the next step. You're going to sell things that you don't want to sell. Now, if at that point, Ari, this is important to realize, lo hirgish, if you don't feel the pain. So he didn't even register. He didn't register. God, why did I have to sell my TV just when they were showing exactly the program that I wanted? Why did I? Ah, it must be Hashgacha Elyona. So this guy doesn't think it's Hashgacha Elyona because he wasn't supposed to be watching TV like Ari thinks. No, he realizes, lo yirgish, the reason has to be a mida k'neged mida. I went ahead and I sold Shemitah food. Therefore, I'm going to have to sell something that I care about. That's my TV. So he would be margish. He would feel the pain. But if he doesn't feel the pain and he doesn't do teshuvah, the next step is lesof mocheret sedotav. He's going to have to sell his real estate. Shenemar, what's the next parsha? Ki amucha chicha umachar miachuzato. Oh my God. And then lo bat liyado. There wasn't even a thought of tshuva in the guy's brain. And the next step is, what's the next pasuk? He has to sell his home. Shenemar ki yimkor beit moshav ir choma. Hey, wait a second. How come on the first step, when we were talking about the TV, it says if he didn't feel the pain? And then in the next step, we didn't say if he didn't feel the pain. We said it doesn't enter his brain. Oh, why is there a difference between feeling the pain and entering your brain? So it's never going to come into his head to think about tshuva. Ah, that is a wonderful limud. It teaches you that once you do something wrong and you do not respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonderful message, that then you keep doing the same thing wrong, you're really screwed. Kivan shavar adam aveira v'shanabo, you do the aveira and you keep doing the aveira, even though you were warned, there goes your TV, then hutralo, it becomes mutter. Hey, wait a minute, that's a great idea, right? Oh, hutralo, oh, that's great. Hutralo sakada, you really mean it? No. I don't really mean it. I mean, it's Nasaloka Heter. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't even think about it anymore. So that's why it doesn't say Lo Hirgish. He's got no responses. There's nothing to feel. Therefore, it says Lo Batli Yado doesn't enter into his brain at that point, because in his mind, it's nothing to even think about. So he started selling stuff from Shemitah. Now he's decided he's continuing to sell stuff from Shemitah. Forget about the makolet. Now he's opening up a supermarket to sell things from Shemitah. He's on a roll. So then let's continue. The next parasha was, okay, then he sells his field. Then he sells his house. And the next step is, if he still has been not even thinking about it, the next step is he's going to be selling his daughter, because the next step is kiim kor ish et bito la'ama. But what? That's not true. That's in Shmos. What are you giving me a story over here? I may be dumb, but I ain't that dumb. Kim Karish and Pitola Ma has nothing to do with this. Why are you throwing it in over there? Just to make the story better? No, no. I got a brilliant shot. Afa gav the Pitola Ktiva Ba'inyan. It's true. It doesn't say anything here about selling his daughter, but still, the point that the Tana is making is amazing. The next step that it says over here is that he borrows money on interest, right? Now, if a guy has a choice of borrowing money on interest or selling his daughter to get that money, what should he do? So that's what the Tana is saying, that a kamashmalan, it's much better to sell your daughter than to borrow on interest. Why? Because your daughter, in the end, goes free, because with every extra day of work, she's closer to being megareya p'dyoina. But the ribis with every extra day is going up, and therefore you're going to get worse and worse off as time goes on. Therefore, it's as if the next step is, I mean, if the guy's already borrowing on ribis, then he must have already sold his daughter. So that's a given. Okay, it's adorable. Fine. So we're taking for granted. Meanwhile, we teach you two things. Information density. Okay, so he's already sold his daughter. He still doesn't realize it. So he's now lo bat liyado. He's going to now borrow beribis. Because the next thing is, v'chi amuch achicho mata yado imach, al tikach mito neshech v'tar ben marbit. So there you go. Now, how about if he still hasn't figured things out? No, the next thing is he's going to sell himself. What's the next pasuk? As if that's not bad enough, what's the psukim after that? In the end, he may have to sell himself to a ger. That doesn't mean a ger tzedek. That's a ger toshav. Not to a Jew, to a ger toshav. Shenema ger toshav. And when it says, and to the family of the ger, that means to the family of the ger that never became a ger. They're straight out goyim. Ze ovei kochavim. And then when it says, ole eker mishpachat ger, what's eker mean? Eker means uprooted, something that is sterile. That's a reference to the Avedah Zorah itself. This guy is sold to the church, and now he's the shamish in a church. So it all started off with selling an apple of Shemitah, and it ended up with being the shamish in the church. Can you imagine? If you want to learn how slippery slopes go, this is the best place to learn. Anyway, so because of that, I would have thought that, after all, if the guy is going downhill and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is so furious at him, that now he's working in the church, so maybe we should not make life easy for him. Maybe if he wants to be paid to himself, let's sock it to him, baby, and make him pay the most. Whether he went up, he's got to pay the current price. If he went down, he's got to pay the original price. So what do you say to that, Abaye? Huh? Not feeling so much like Reish Lakish B'Shukei Tveria now, are you? I certainly am, says Abaye. That's a ridiculous svara, and I'll tell you why. Because the Torah specifically goes out of its way to make you feel empathy towards that person. The Tani Devei Reb Yishmael. You might have thought that this idiot didn't feel anything until he's finally working as the shamash in a church. So then let's just throw the stone in over the bucket. You know, the guy's fallen into the well. What do you want to do? Rescue him? Throw stones at him. The heck with it. Why should we make it possible for him to recover? After all, this is what happens to a guy who sells an apple of Shvias. So we should just finish him off. That's what you might thought. So let's push a big rock over into covering him up. Talmud Lomar, Acharei Nimkar Gulati Yelo. Therefore, at the end of this whole story, where we're talking about, he was a Nimkar La'akum. Still, Echad Me'achav Yigalenu. Somebody should come to his rescue. Buy the guy out. So since the Torah wants us to care about him and to buy him out, So Mimela, it's understandable that it also wants us to care about him and make it easy for him to buy himself back. And therefore, we should be Mefarish to Psukim Lekula and not Lechumra. That's the point. No, says the Rabbanan, who is challenging Abaye. Ve'ema gu'ula tielo. Maybe all that means is that the Torah does not want this guy turning into a goy. Okay, so therefore, we say buy him out. Otherwise, he's going to end up joining the church. You know, this is what happened to the chief rabbi of Rome. He went over there during the war. He was sitting there in the Vatican. They were treating him so nicely, saving him from the Nazis. What happened to him? He became a goy. Anyway, so the Torah wants to make sure that doesn't happen to this guy. But as far as allowing him to buy himself out cheaply, we should look at Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina, and we should say, listen, the guy has not been sensitive to do tshuva. Let's make life tough on him. So lenient pinyon, nachmer alei, mit Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina. Uh-oh. It was at this point that Abaye put his shirt back on and crept away from the streets of Tveria. So he didn't have any comeback for this one, Abaye. So we needed to come up with a new solution. Why do we go Lekula and not Lechumra? I'll tell you what. Look, we've got two psukim here, right? So we had Im Od Rabot Bashanim. So we had that pasuk that was telling us that was the first part. Im Od, our first pasuk has Im Od Rabot Bashanim. That leads into what? Yashiv Geulato Mikesev Miknato. Okay. And then we had the change in the language in the next pasuk, that im od rabot bashanim, we're over there, we don't say mikesav miknato, and we say that actually what you should do over there is is the very next pasuk, kefi shanav, and not mikesav miknato, okay? Now, I want to analyze, says Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, I want to analyze the meaning of rabot bashanim, or ma'at nish'ar bashanim. What does that mean exactly? What do you mean rabot bashanim? There's no, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, and this is it right away in the beginning of the Sugya in Erechin, that what bothers the Gemara is the language of bashanim. What do you mean bashanim? There's not longer years and shorter years. You can talk about the number of years that are left, l'fishan d'ashanim. But what do you mean rabot bashanim? There's like times where the cell was for more years or for less years. Well, that's not possible. There's only sheish shanim. So what does that mean? There are no bigger years or smaller years. There is no cell for more years or for less years. So why use that word? Bichlal. So I say, pshat is, ela. Rabot Bashanim means if his value went up in the years. And if Ma'at Bashanim means if the value went down in the years. That's the point. So if Nitra Bekaspon, if he was worth more, then go because of Miknato. Like it says in that passage. If Ma'at Bashanim, meaning his value went down in those years, then pay current value. Kefishanav, that's the point. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. I mean, that, how do you know that's the point? Maybe the point is that it just means, this is how Rashi understands it. Tosfos understands it differently. But let's talk about Rashi, okay? So maybe it just means the very simple way that any idiot would explain it. If there's a lot of years left, or if there's less years left, right? That's all it's saying. So maybe what it's saying is, let's say he worked for 2 years, and he's got 4 years left. So then you pay 4 years. So he has to return the value of 4 years. And if he worked 4 years, he only has 2 years, then he only has to pay back the 2 years. Maybe that's all that it's saying. And then who said it's talking about value going up or value going down at all? Where the heck did you get that from? Now, Tosfos doesn't like this pshat. Because, I mean, it doesn't explain at all the different language. of Mikesev Mitnato or Kafi Shanav. So why did the Gemara suddenly give up on the whole beautiful point of the diuk of the way that the pasuk ends? That can't be what it means. So Tosfos has a brilliant explanation. Tosfos says, maybe the point is that what defines whether he pays according to the initial value or he pays according to the current value is he closer to the point at which he was purchased, or has he already worked off most of it and now he's closer to the point where he's at the end? That's the point. So Imra Bot Bashanim, he's got a lot of years left, so then it goes according to what just happened. He just sold himself. If it's only a little bit of time, then maybe it goes according to the end time. Maybe that's the pshat, but not that it's invariably lakula or invariably lachumra. Okay, so we have the two approaches over here. But in any event, im kein, I'll tell you why that's not the meaning. Because if that's what it meant, so then nichtov kro im od rabot shanim, or im mi'at nishar shanim, why are we talking about bar shanim? What does bar shanim have to do with anything? Hey, that's the point. You must be coming to tell me that if bar shanim, his price went up, then mikesev mitnato. If his price went down, bar shanim, then kafi shanav. You see how this is more mashma like Rashi, this latter piece here, right? Om Rav Yisrael, that is gorgeous. That is beautiful. Rav Nachman, you are wonderful. Darshino Rav Nachman ane kroi kisinai. And here we take out the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, because remember Tosfos said before that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was actually not who's referred to as Rav Nachman, the Rebbe of Rav Yosef, and that it was Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. That was all machlokas we had earlier between Rashi and Tosfos, right? So that we don't want to say over Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. But anyway, so Rav Yosef says, whoa, poetry, sheer poetry. It's like you were standing at Har Sinai, and you see how these words are so beautiful. That one letter, and then the difference in the phraseology at the end, Kefisha Nav, or Mikesev Mitnato. Oh my gosh, lovely. Okay, now the question is like this. And what we're going to be doing now, which we're going to be continuing on throughout tomorrow, is we're going to be examining all of the cases where we have the din of pinyon. And we want to know a couple of very interesting issues that are nogea pidyon. Now, remember, when it comes to pidyon in these cases of sales, let's think about what the cases are. So we've got the case that we've been talking about, which is the case of an eved ivri that's nimkar to a goy. We have the case of an eved ivri that's nimkar to Yisro. Then we have the din of that we just mentioned, when we're talking about the slippery slope. So we talked about somebody who's going to have to sell his field. That's called Meicher Steachuzaza. And we talked about somebody who's going to sell his home. That's talking about the sale of Beit Moshav Ir Choma. Okay, now, in all of those cases, we have a din of buying yourself back. And that was including the Oma Ivria, right? Question is, what does that mean when you buy yourself back? I mean, suppose you want to buy back part of your Sheba. You don't have enough money to buy yourself out completely. So you want to buy back 3 years, let's say. Right now, you came into some money, want to give the Odin half of your value, so you only have to work 3 years. Or let's say you sold a field. You only were able to scrape together half of the value of the field. Can you buy back half? How about if you sold your home? Can you buy back half? How about if you want to borrow money? You figure, okay, heck, let me borrow money, buy it back, and then I'll be able to pay it back slowly. What is the din of all of these issues when it comes to the various dinim? Now, remember that the various dinim are very, very different. We'll go over this again tomorrow, but I just want to remind you the ikar dinim. The ikar dinim are, we have the simple aspect of giron kesev with possible changes in value that we've just discussed with the eved ivri. We have the din of somebody who sells his stei achuza. And the halacha over there is the minimum sale is for 2 years. You can't buy it back if less than 2 years have passed. Furthermore, when Yovel arrives, the halacha is that the field goes back to you. But there's another case that I didn't mention. The other case is if you're magdish your field, which also occurs at the end of Vayikra, all the way at the end, if somebody is magdish, thank you, Rebbe. If somebody is magdish, try it again. If somebody is magdish, stay achuza. So then the halacha is that if he is able to buy it back from Hegdesh, so then he's in good shape, because then when Yovel comes, he gets to keep it. But if he doesn't act fast, and now the Gizbar sells it to somebody else, then that person obviously doesn't get to keep it after Yovel. But when it goes out in Yovel, it goes to Hegdesh. And then Hegdesh splits it among the Kohanim. Oh, good grief. That means that the guy never gets his stay achuza back. So that means that he's got as much time that is available. I mean, if the Gizbar doesn't act, he's got all the way till Yovel. And he can also buy back immediately, different than if he sold his stay achuza. How about if he sells a house in a Beit Ir Choma? So there we have a fascinating halacha. He has precisely 1 year to buy that house back. Remember that we had that special takana that we said that he can break down the door, deposit the money in a special lishka that was made because the guy that bought it would always disappear in the last month, you know, so he'd never be able. Okay, so we had that takana, beautiful takana. There's a lishka. You go into the lishka and you give the money to Ari just to keep him focused. And that way you are able to break down the door and bust into your own home and take it back. But if you miss the deadline by 1 minute, you have lost that home forever. So over there, it becomes muchlat to the buyer. Okay, what if it's a house in a regular city? So then it has the same din as a sadeh. Now that's a brief review of the halachas. In all of these questions, we need to say, can you be goel partially? That's called go'el chatzain. Doesn't mean literally chatzain. It means a proportion. Can you be go'el chatzain? Can you borrow money? That's called lova v'go'el or eino lova v'go'el. And in all of these cases, is there a din that someone else can come along and be go'el for you? Is there a din that krovim can come? Can anybody come? Is there a mitzvah for Krovim to come, or just a heter for Krovim to come? And the guy's going to have to sell. All of these issues need to be examined one by one. And I'll bet your toes are curling because we've already been learning for over an hour. And you're thinking, oh my God, he's not going to do this now, is he? No, I'm not. I'm going to be nice. But I did want to introduce the sugyas to you. And I did want to encourage you to please look at the end of Bahar and at the end of Bichul Kosak, get these halachas clear in your mind. This gives you a good opportunity so that you understand very well all of the sugyas, Nim Kala Akum and Nim Kala Yisrael. That is what we've been talking about so far. Then we've got all of the stories of the Meicher Stei Achuzas. Then we have the Magdish Theachosas. Then we have the Mocher Bias Bebet Ir Chomak. And then we have Mocher Bias that's not in an Ir Chomak. Get to know the dinim so that we can fly around in the sugi. You'll have so much fun because we'll be putting all the different sugis together, taking a look at what's the same and what's different and what's comparable. Ah, absolutely brilliant. Plus, we're even going to have fun in analyzing. This is the place in Chas where the sheet of Rabbi Shimon about Darshin and Taima Dekra turns out to be the entire focus of the difference between the machlokas of Hadadarsh and the Pasuk, because it really makes the difference in an opposite conclusion. So it's amazing where it becomes nogea, the time of the krah, becomes nogea in the halach of how to be derish, the krah, completely. It's not theoretical at all. All of this, the next exciting episode, tomorrow. So now you can spend the rest of the night going through all of those parshas. You could say, yes, look at this, Ari can't resist. He can't even go to school tomorrow, a disaster. So what you need to do is take out your trusty chumash, look through it, and Bezrat Hashem will go over all these halachas And hopefully we'll be able to, there you go, perfect. We'll be able to zippy zoo. It's very big daffy, but we'll do our best to zip through the sugya tomorrow. And meanwhile, I wish you a wonderful Shavua Tov, Mevorach, Hinei El Yeshua Si, Yiftach, Lo Yefchad, Mesirot Tovot, everyone, and Kol Tov, and Laila Tov.